Before we dive into this podcast, we want to introduce you to our sponsor, TaylorMade. Established in 2008, TaylorMade is a family-owned and run business built on traditional values of trust, honesty, and integrity. When you visit TaylorMade's showroom, you'll experience firsthand their commitment to these values through their honest pricing with no hidden fees and service with a genuine smile. Each tile specialist is knowledgeable in all areas, from features and benefits to measuring and layout, ensuring that you receive the best advice and service possible. TaylorMade's vision is to become one of the largest and most successful tile manufacturers of high-end quality products, with a stylish and exclusive range of products distributed worldwide to both wholesale and retail markets. Their mission is to manufacture high-quality tiles and surpass expectations by offering competitive prices through an ongoing commitment to customer satisfaction and dedication to continuous improvement. We're proud to have TaylorMade as our sponsor and invite you to visit their showroom in Coorparoo in Brisbane or check out their products online at taylormade.com.au.
Hello and welcome to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast. I'm Joe Fitz. Round 23 was a massive week for most, as many popular guns fired, but not all of them were in our 17. Some of them even went to sleep on the job. Sorry, chance owners. Here to talk us through team lists, who to start and sit this week, is a man whose bench players averaged 100 last round. So what does he know? It's Wilf.
Yep. It was, look, I can't be too upset at the end of the day because I still scored pretty decently, but it did hurt watching my bench go off. But look, all I can say is, you know, silver linings, at least my bench isn't too bad. I got good depth. So if I need to, I can call upon them. But yes, good to be here. And yeah, 4 weeks to go, I'm really ripping in. I think I've still a chance of sneaking into the top 1K. So don't write me off yet.
Yeah, mate. We were head-to-head in the finals of a league and you got me on updates, you bastard. 1436. So yeah, 2800s, mate. You're not that far away from the top 1,000. You beat my 1423, which I'm happy enough. Got me back up to 524. So only a couple of hundred points out of the top 100, which is where I'm focused. But it's Bear, mate, occasional podcaster from time to time. Only 1309, but he's pacing us. He's just outside the top 300.
Yeah, he's only 120 points ahead of you, though, I think. So it's not too much for you to catch him, potentially. I think, yeah, I might have to concede. I don't think I'm going to catch you up unless you have a bit of a shocker and fall out of the top 1K. But yeah, look, I think let's pause for a moment because it is a bit of a historic day, so to speak. We did hear news from our good friends over at NRL Supercoach Talk. I think it's fair to say we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for them pioneering the way for Supercoach websites, podcasts, resources, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I won't say that they were the first because I don't think they technically were, but they were the first big name that really got recognized. And yeah, I mean, I only took Supercoach seriously after I found the Supercoach Talk website. And as of end of this season, they're not going to be around anymore.
I mean, as you say, it's the end of an era. We met through SC Talk, maybe not the very, very first fan-made site for NRL Supercoach, but the OG in all respects. Alumni, you and I, NRL Physio, just a bit of a who's who of podcasters and all of that different stuff, obviously. When in and Nick have stepped away from the site, you know, with family commitments and stuff, and Lakey and JT, Lakey's a good mate of ours, you know, picking it up over recent years. It's where I wrote the Ten Commandments of Supercoach for 7 or 8 years, mate. So, yeah, it is very much the end of an era, if kind of unfortunate with and inevitable with the creation of the Discords and the rise of Messenger and all of that different stuff that where everything kind of got spread very, very thin. But congrats to the guys. Congrats to Wendell and Nick for an amazing run of you know, well over 10 years.
Yeah, definitely. I think it can't be understated how much of an impact they've had on what is now the SC community. And like I said, like, we wouldn't be around if it wasn't for them. And I have no doubt other podcasts and other, you know, Supercoach groups and things like that wouldn't have started without kind of their influence at the start. So yeah, obviously something to celebrate. They'll still be around. So the Mega Guide, they've said that they're planning to still put that out, but it's more just the Supercoach Talk site, their podcast, the articles, those things that might drop off. And they'll look different starting next year. So yeah, definitely end of an era, but got to recognize obviously the OGs there. So all right, back to our quick updates here. So we've got a new $500 champs only bonus leader. So Rod and Reese, they've been kind of facing off recently. Rod's now overtaken Reese. He's just 4 points ahead. So they're literally 77th and 78th in the rankings. So going to be a tight finish between the two of them for sure. We've seen the Champions 1 league jump up to 10th. So it was a big week for some of the champs in the Discord. So yeah, it's good to see them pushing up at the pointy end of the season. Podmasters Cup, last year's top 20 team league, is in 8th. So it seems more and more likely they're going to be able to defend their title. But yeah, hopefully we can still push up and finish a little bit higher. But that's enough of that. Let's jump over to the news for the week. As we kind of get towards the tail end of the regular season, the focus obviously is more and more towards the finals. So I thought we'd spend a little time just now. I guess, I mean, it's not really news, but I think it's important to look at the ladder and where teams are going to finish up. So I think, and what prompted me to talk about this was like the Titans have shut down Sam Verrills, who I think is pretty clearly their best hooker, but he's been shut down for the season. They're sending him out to get a shoulder clean out. And I think a large part of that is because he's now, I mean, the Titans are now out of contention with the loss they just had this weekend. So I think as we see more and more teams drop out of contention, so the Titans are 13th in the ladder. I think 13th to below, that's the Titans, Dolphins, Bulldogs, Dragons, and Tigers. They're officially done for the season. I think, yeah, as more of teams join those five, we might see other players, key players, getting shut down to get cleanups and things like that. So that brings me to the first team that's kind of 12th right now. That's the Roosters. So I think they're on 9 wins. Mathematically, you could argue that they could still make it, but they are in literally must-win territory. They drop another game, they're done. I mean, I think you said off-air, they're done in your eyes, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they are, but they're less of a kind of a resting risk, I think, just given the pride that the club's got. It is embarrassing for Robbo and the boys to be this low every year. They go into it with premiership aspirations. So I don't think we'll see the kind of, we're not resting, but the kind of maintenance injuries like a shoulder clean up that you've seen with Verrills and look, probably will come from a Jeremy Marshall King or something like that, likelihood of being shut down. So I think the Roosters will push and push where they're almost certainly not going to finish in the 8, but you know, at least a 9th or maybe a 10th is respectable and something they can live with. If they drop down to 13th or 14th because they shut down some players, then I just don't think that Uncle Nick's going to stand for that.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point there. So the next team, currently 11th on the ladder, is the Seagulls. So they're 1 point ahead because they did have that draw of the Knights early in the season. So they are tied on 9 wins. So again, they're in must-win territory. They drop a game, they're done, I'd say, and that's going to be tough because this week they get the joy of facing the Panthers. So, I mean, I've kind of written them off, unfortunately.
Panthers into Warriors, mate. And, you know, with Matt Lodge doing his ACL, which we'll talk about later, will the last capable middle at Manly turn the lights out when they leave? because that pack is pretty dire.
Jake Turbo is never leaving, mate.
No, he's never leaving, but at his age and with the miles on the legs, you know, he can't do it all himself, can he?
No, that's fair. What I meant is he'll never turn the lights out because he's always going to be there.
Yeah, true.
What's interesting is like the next team is actually the Knights in 7th currently, but they have 10 wins. So of the remaining teams, they actually have the lowest win total coming next. Although they have the extra 1 point from the draw with the Seagulls I just mentioned. So even though the Knights are in 7th, they do actually need to keep winning. And they're already on a hot streak, right? They're like 5 in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And now, like, I don't think that's an issue this round because it's the Bulldogs and you kind of said as much before. Then it's the Bunnies and the Sharks. And then final round is the Dragons. So I do have to worry a little bit there. I mean... the way the Knights are playing, I would back them to put up a real fight against the Bunnies and Sharks, but they're both teams, I think, that are tougher than the last three teams that the Knights have played. So that's not to discount their great win against the Storm in round 21. But yeah, I think that's just a little bit of concern I have there. And obviously, a lot of it hinges on Ponga staying healthy, right?
Yeah, that's a gimme, but they've also got the guy who is probably the best player in the comp right now in Kalyn Ponga. He is absolutely on fire, and obviously the Bulldogs, we've talked about them plenty. It's a sad old season, but they're a very young side. Knights will win that. Knights will beat the Dragons, who, you know, already feel like they're booking their holidays to Cancun in the final week. And then you've got two home games against the Rabbitohs, who were terrible last week, and the Sharks, who always fold when they come up against the top side. So, yes, on paper, Rabbitohs and Sharks, tougher games, but you've got two wins that you'd like to think you can put in the bank or close enough to. And then let's say they split, that's three of the next four. So they're definitely in for me.
Yeah, they're definitely well in contention from my perspective. I'm definitely not writing them off at this stage. But 8th, 9th and 10th on the ladder, the Rabbitohs, Eels and Cowboys all on 11 wins, all with a bye to come. Obviously, the Cowboys have it this week. So they are basically, you know, points-wise, they're equal with the Sharks, who are on 28, and they're technically equal 6. Sharks beating Rabbitohs last week made things really interesting, I thought, because obviously that brought them win total-wise to the same level. Now, the Sharks will play the Cowboys on the way home, and I think also the Bunnies obviously play tonight, so that's going to be quite those are two key games I think would have a huge impact for the Eels. Look, they have arguably the toughest run, obviously Broncos, Roosters and then Panthers, and it's going to be hard to see the Eels. I've heard, unfortunately, a fair few Eels fans just writing them off, done for the season basically, after just seeing like how they barely scraped past the Dragons last round.
Yeah, too many winnable games that they've thrown away, not just, you know, scraping through in those wins, but just losses that really shouldn't have been losses earlier in the year have probably done them in, mate. Very unlikely to beat the Broncos, even though it's at the Gabba, not Suncorp this week, and then Panthers in round 26. And the Roosters, you know, will obviously be trying their best, so it's not like they're going to be on the beach. So, yeah, I think the Eels are on the outside looking in, ninth now, and it's probably round about where they'll finish.
So, I guess, gun to your head, pick your top eight. Springing this on you.
Yeah, I think the Sharks drop out and the Cowboys are in.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's so Panthers, Broncos, Warriors, Storm, probably Knights, Rabbitohs, Raiders, Cowboys, something like that.
I think, yeah, I largely agree. I'm actually kind of concerned it might actually be the Rabbitohs that drop out. And that's tough for me because I have a lot of, like, the Rabbitohs scare me as a team. If they make the finals, I'll be like, yeah, I'm worried about the Rabbitohs. It's just right now they have, like, no middles, right? They have so many injuries in the middles. Like, aside from, obviously, Cam Murray, one of the best middles in the game, but look, Jai Arrow's got back spasms. They've lost Tevita Totola for a couple of weeks. Hame Sele's gone. Tom Burgess just got suspended. I don't know why. Like, Liam Knight's not been great, but they gave him away to the Bulldogs. Like, when they're so short already, it didn't make much sense to me. But yeah, it could be really tough if they got no go forward at all. Like, they have a superstar backline and Latrell's back, but it's going to be tough. And we saw last week that, yeah, if it doesn't go well, they can struggle. So
it's not just the back line, it's Cookie at a dummy half as well, as predicated on quick play the balls and forward momentum, which up until this year Cam Murray provided, and he hasn't quite been as good this year. But you look at the Rabbitohs draw, okay, they've got the Dragons this week, then the Knights if they lose that, but then they've got a bye, you know, into the Roosters, which will be, you know, a knockdown, drag them out affair. So I think the fact that they've got the 16th place team and a bye in their next four games, you know, probably gets them the two wins that they need, and then a third win kind of secures it.
Yeah, like I said, I think the Knights and the Rabbitohs will be a key matchup. Sharks against the Cowboys, and then Sharks against the Knights also in there. I imagine Sharks against the Raiders final round will probably be quite instrumental for the Sharks making it into the top eight, or sorry, staying there more like. So yeah, to me, I largely agree with what you're saying. It's just maybe the team that drops out is either the Sharks or the Rabbitohs, and that's kind of scary. But yeah, look, I thought it'd be good to kind of go through that. And as I said, you know, injuries might come into play a little bit more in terms of players being shut down. So let's jump over to injuries real quick.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a football injury before, you wimps? Let's go.
All right, starting off the big one, you mentioned Matt Lodge doing his ACL, so obviously gone for the season. When the Seagulls acquired him, they obviously were short on middles, so they really did need him. So that's a bit of a blow there. You also mentioned Chan's having a bit of a sleep. So unfortunately, like, it's his third concussion of the year. So mandatory 11-day stand down. And there's a real concern that he might actually miss a little bit more time than just this week.
Well, I hope he does for his welfare. You know, I mean, three brain injuries in one season. Yeah, take a rest, Chance.
Yeah, so hopefully the Warriors do right by him, and I'm no doubt they'll get all the tests done and all of that type of stuff. I don't doubt that for a second. But yeah, if you want a more in-depth discussion about that, again, shout out NRL Physio, Magic Sponge Podcast. They talk about it in a lot of detail and you know, talk through the various scenarios. So yeah, just I guess realistically, he may not just be missing this week, and that might have some impact trades-wise. So probably we'll talk about that a little bit later. AJ Brimson, who was a late withdrawal. So we know he suffered an oblique issue the previous game. He went off, got kneaded up, came back on. He was named to play this week. Whether he got kneaded up expecting to play, I don't know. It didn't seem to help. At the end, he wasn't able to proceed, and he was a really, really late out. Again, I mentioned the Titans, obviously, you know, shutting down Verrills. I wonder if AJ, we see him again until he's like 100% healthy. So that's obviously tough for those who've got him as a pod or a draft option. I do think he's a trade out if you've got him.
100%. They won't rush him back with Campbell there. That's just the way it is with the Titans out of contention. Verrills, you mentioned, with the shoulder clean out to be ready for next year. Bunch of people carrying niggling injuries that have been named, To'o and Martin for the Panthers. Arthurs is out with a concussion that was deemed a Category 1. Herbie Farnworth and Adam Reynolds, though, have been named with their niggling injuries. Over at the Knights, Jacob Safidi has been named. He's got a low-grade hammy. And Bradman Best with groin tightness is out. Jaiara, you mentioned, he's got back spasms, which is a bit of a recurring thing for Arrow in recent years. He has been named, but as someone who gets back spasms, that's bloody painful. So you'd assume he's needling up if he's playing. Your mate Ronaldo, and for those who still have him in the side, though, he's been named back from his head knock / jaw, mate.
Yeah, so this is where I guess it's funny because the training mishap became a jaw issue. Now they've confirmed he did suffer a concussion, or he had to undergo a HIA at training, and that's why he didn't only just miss that game, but then the following game, because 11 days or whatever. So yeah, he's named to return. I think subject to no symptoms or whatever, he should be good to play. Last couple of things, Moses Sulley was a late withdrawal for the Dragons. I mean, they had other replacements in there. They're all out injured, so that's obviously, we'll come to that in the team list. And lastly, Charlie Staines, who came in, looked all right, and defensively I think was helping out. He's done his hammy, so that's probably not great for the Tigers as they're now having to go back to that. I think Tupou on the wing, and I think they've got Kapau back in the center, so yeah. Could be concerning for the Tigers back line again. Lastly, Seb Chris for the Raiders. He's done his hammy. He's out for 3-4 weeks. So that's obviously forced a bit of a reshuffle there, which we'll come to on team lists. Lastly, judiciary-wise, so Mo Fodawaker copped a one-week ban. Nathan Brown not only cops the... There's no other Supercoach score that could be less than what he got, right? He literally...
His only involvement, yeah.
Attempted a tackle, got it wrong, penalised, and then sent off. So... It's hard to imagine certainly anyone scoring at less than what Nathan Brown did. But yeah, so he cops a week for his troubles too. And as I mentioned, Tom Burgess copped a 3-week ban. And yeah, that's the judiciary wrap-up. So let's jump over to those team lists.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you. Congratulations, the rest of you made the team. Except you, you and you.
Kicking off with Seagulls Panthers Thursday night at Four Pines. We spoke about the lack of depth in the Manly pack. Ben Trbojevic is starting on an edge, so thank God, hopefully, he's a bit less of an AE nightmare for my team. Sean Kepi coming into prop, and the Panthers are 1-17. Obviously, you know, Manly can concede plenty of points when they're off their game. Panthers are the Panthers. Is this a still a case of, you know, using one of your final trades to bring in a Brian To'o or, you know, someone like that to for the Panthers run home, mate?
That's a tough one because we kind of glossed over it, but he genuinely looked like he was in a fair bit of pain. He was grabbing his pec or his shoulder or something throughout most of the second half in the last game. So I'm worried that if, let's say, obviously they're locked into top four, but you know, locked into first or second, that might... Does that bring in the potential for Brian To'o resting? I mean, he might get rested in round 27 anyway, so you bring him in for around 24, 25, 26, which that's perfectly fine for head-to-head. But
yeah, I guess that's where it is a tough one. I wouldn't fault anyone for just bringing him in, but I just wanted to throw that there as a consideration that he might get shut down for a week just because of that shoulder issue if he plays this week at all. I think that's another consideration there.
Yeah, he's also about 130K more expensive than what he was a couple of weeks ago. At 746, probably not too late if he was fully healthy, but yeah, that injury is a little bit of a worry. Sharks-Titans, the early game on Friday night at points bets. Mulitalo, as we mentioned, back on the wing, pushing Haroti to 18th man. Big Tino's back for the Titans, which is great to see. Jolliffe's also at prop with Mo Fodawaker missing the week, pushing Liu to interchange. Don't think there's any Verrills like risks in the Titans. I think, you know, Verrills is going to be out. AJ, as we mentioned, probably shut down for the year. But if you've got Fafita, you're playing him. If you held Tino, you're playing him. Does anyone still have Tanner Boyd?
let's just not go into Tanner Boyd hate again.
I just asked if people owned him. I'm innocent. What are you talking about?
Would you bring Tino in? Surely he's ripping in, right? He's going to be keen to get out there, and surely he's not missing any more games this season, even if the Titans are going to shut down.
I don't think he will. I mean, he's genuinely been inspirational this year. I guess if you're loaded in the centre wing, then yep, Tino's got a high ceiling for a prop. But conventional wisdom being that, you know, at this point of the year, you're not chasing floor, you're chasing ceiling, which lends itself to centre wing. But I would say team dependent, but only if you're loaded in centre wing, would you look to bring Tino in, because he's not cheap.
Yeah, I do think Verrills being out is actually quite sways me a fair bit, because Verrills is arguably, you know, one of the better attacking hookers going around. Like, he actually knows how to use his forwards near the goal line, which is, I think, you know, he's been responsible for some of Tino's attacking stats.
Hmm.
So that does cap his ceiling a little bit. So I might actually stay away from him, even though, like, he's like, yeah, you're right, 808K, and he's got break-even of 104, but his ownership has dropped significantly. I think at some point he was in the, you know, mid 20s, maybe high 20s percentage wise. He's dropped down to 13%, and I imagine some of those will be dead teams have given up.
Interestingly though, 15.4% owned in the top 1%. Plenty of the high flyers have held him.
Yeah, fair enough. And that's, I guess, does it make sense to jump on to chase that? Or, I mean, you've got a name here, Britton Nicarel, who is almost 200 grand cheaper than Tino. But if you're maybe giving up on Nicarel, who's, let's face it, he's not been great the last 3 weeks. Mm. And largely that's because he's missing out on attacking stats. Although I think one round he did play center, basically, after Kennedy went down early on. So
I think that was also his highest scoring round in the last 3 weeks. So yeah, it's hard to judge. I just look, Nico did bounce back, you know, as the Sharks pull on 30 against Souths, but Nico does seem to have not necessarily fallen off a cliff, but there's definitely not the same kind of pep in his step in the lines that he's running. So break even at 92, he's all the way down to 623, but if you were going to move him, this will probably have to be the week.
Yeah, it's just hard, right? I can't get around trading out Nicara when he's playing the Titans, right? Like, I just think there's too much potential for attacking stats. I mean, he'll be running Kieran Foran and Dave Fifita, and we've seen what Fifita can do in terms of, who was it that literally just strolled past him last week?
His effort is inconsistent in defence, let's just say that. yeah, look, not a bad call. I think his upside, when the Sharks are flying, he'll get all the attacking stats in the world. But his base just isn't quite as elite as what you want when the Sharks aren't kind of turning it on. So, yeah, bit of a challenge with only 4 weeks to go. But if I had the trades up my sleeve, Nico, I'd be looking to cash in for someone with a higher ceiling. Broncos-Eels, Friday night at the Gabba, a.k.a. the worst place to watch rugby league. Reynolds back at 7. Unfortunately, Jordan Rickey named on the edge for the Piakura owners like myself. Piakura's on the interchange with Kobe Hetherington. Dejan Arcee's in the centres for the Eels. Simmons onto the wing, and Maddow's back on the interchange, which I don't necessarily think is too bad for owners.
Yeah, I mean, he's shown the ability to get it done in the middle, on the edge. Like, he's just good for Supercoach. So as long as he's getting his hands on the ball, getting plenty of minutes, I think he'll be perfectly fine. So yeah, I wouldn't panic. And if, I guess, with the Eels only having 3 more games before their final round bye, like, I wouldn't actively bring him in. But yeah, if you've got him, you can roll him out with confidence there. I do think this is I'm not sure Reynolds, like, he's named, but I'm not 100% confident he will play. Like, I think if there's any hint that his groin is still giving him drama, like he'll just get the week off, and then they'll obviously be able to have him be rested over the bye, which is next week, and then he'll come back hopefully fit and firing. Do you think there's a potential upset on the cards here? Like, you know, this is the last chance for Eels basically.
No, I don't see it. The Broncos' defense is too good, and I know that's the Eels' attack is a strength of theirs, but when they're off their game, the Eels, we've seen them concede kind of 40-plus points, you know, pretty easily to teams. So combination of not being able to keep teams out and the Broncos, absolutely elite defense, not quite Panthers-like, but very, very solid. I don't think Adam Reynolds helps them in the defensive stakes. I find it hard to think that the Eels will toss them. It's not out of the question. It's a two-horse race, obviously, but yeah, I'm backing the Broncos, and it's going to put the Eels right up against it.
The Broncos technically are the second best defensive team right now on a points per game basis. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not they can stay there. But yeah, I think if they can maintain that, like, they'll be tough to beat. Just the way they're attacking, like, they can put on points against anybody, basically. Like, the only team that would probably defensively worry them would really be the Panthers. So I think you're right there. Like, they're just so dangerous all over the field. Doesn't have to be, like, some teams need to get themselves down to the opposition 20 in order to be able to score points. The Broncos aren't that. Like, I think there's a stat where they're, like, basically in the bottom three for a number of tackles in the opposition 20, yet they're obviously scoring plenty of tries. So I think they're either super efficient when they get inside the opposition 20, or they're scoring lots of tries from outside 20-meter zone.
True, true. All right, so the Saturday game up in Cairns, Rabbitohs and the Dragons. We mentioned the challenges in the middles for the Rabbitohs. Shaq Mitchell is at prop. Jacob Host is onto an edge. Tane Mills back on the wing, and we're pretty sure that Munro's dropped. It's not an injury this time.
Well, it looks like it. He's named in the 19 this time, so I imagine that could be the case, unless they're just trying to take the pressure off him and you know, maybe he's a late inclusion again. I mean, he had some great touches, but he also had some shockers.
Some real unforced errors, yeah, including right at the end where that ball he just dropped it for no reason when they were chasing the game in the final minute. So, yeah, look, I had him as a play in my 17 if he was named this week, but it's just not working out. But keep your eye on late mail. The other Molo, Michael Molo, named a prop for the Dragons, Murdoch Masilla at lock, and Suli and Max Finai in the centres. It's actually a pretty fragile Dragons team with all those injuries. So, yes, the Rabbitohs have injuries, but I'd still be backing the South backline to go large.
Yeah, look, the Dragons, you know, missing DeBellin, who's probably their best forward, and then they've lost Jaden Sewer for weeks now. And Bird was previously one of their better forwards, and then he went into the centres, and now he's got a shoulder injury. So I definitely think you're right. Like, this is not the game where you'd be worried about the Rabbitohs not being able to keep up with the opposition pack despite their injuries.
And Lomax out as well, you know, as one of their better players. So, yeah, it's basically Ben Hunt and a bunch of scrubs, unfortunately, for the Dragons.
Yeah, so I think the bottom line probably is start your Rabbitohs with confidence.
Yeah, something like that. Not sure that there's any great buys for the week, but yeah, if you got them, start them. Tigers Warriors Saturday over in Hamilton. Stefano Udicomano's back at prop. You mentioned Tupou's gone to the wing and Kaboa in the centres. Blaw's back from injury on the interchange. And the Warriors are 1-17, except for Chance being out and Tua Picky named at fullback. I mean, it's way too late for a 209K flyer at fullback, even with the Warriors draw, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he looks good for a four-game rookie, but yeah, I just don't think he's going to be overly Supercoach relevant. Like, if it's a draft comp you're in, definitely jump on. You want to pick that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, not for Classic. Not when there's obviously some genuine superstars that you can get at fullback right now.
Yeah. All right. Roosters Dolphins at Allianz on Saturday. Hey, did you know that Dylan Napper was still playing football? He's been named on the interchange at the Roosters. Forgot he was even back at the Roosters. And Ray Stone, a new face on the interchange, coming back from that broken hand against the Dolphins. Not a lot of kind of standouts here. You're playing Joey Manu. Are you playing Jermaine Asako?
Yes, I think I will.
Unlike last week where he was on both of our benches.
I knew you were setting me up for that.
He was on mine too, mate. So
he was going to be in my team until I decided to loop SJ, and he was the guy who dropped out because, I mean, it didn't make sense to play Isako ahead of Cody Walker or Joey Tarpane or anybody else I've decided to roll out ahead of him. So, yeah, that burned a little. I cost myself 50 points or so. by looping SJ instead of captaining Ponga.
And I want you to bring that up tomorrow when you do the in-depth strategy in the captains and vice captains chat. It's looking like you'll have a special guest co-hosting with you, that even with a 146 score, the loop cost you about 50 points. So yeah, I'm just not anywhere near as big a fan of looping as most. Fair enough, I've got Sonny Luke in my side. So, you know, I did VCSJ and I wasn't going to loop, but it's just so rare that the loop actually works.
Of all the times where when you loop 149 and your AE is 49 points, it usually works out. It just hurts when you drop a guy out of your 17 that you didn't think was going to score 124. So that's the reason I lost 50 points there, basically.
I mean, fair, but at the same time, who's backing against Kalyn Ponga, you know, with the kind of matchups he's got? So, look, I just mean at a macro level, you can nitpick all of these things, sure. But I think if you really looked back at, you know, on any given year, and you and I have been playing for a lot of years, how many times the loop has genuinely actually worked out, I reckon you'd be able to count them on one hand.
Yeah, look, it's fair. I've definitely looped it 3-4 times this year, and two of them I do know I've lost points as a result. So fair point, fair point.
Yeah. Speaking of losing points, the Raiders in their minus 74 point differential go to Amy Park to play the Storm. Jerome Hughes and Xavier Coates are back, and Bronson Garlick's new on the interchange, Wishart drops off. And Ethan Strange, a debut in the centres with Sebastian Chris out for those 3 to 4 weeks, as we mentioned. I think all of the Supercoach relevant players you're playing at this point, you're playing Tarponet, you're playing Horsberg for the Raiders, and you're playing all your Storm.
Pretty much, right? I can't see a reason to sit any of them. I guess, you know, if you're thinking about bringing in a player from either of these teams, I don't know who you'd be bringing in. Like, would you take a risk on, say, like a Rapana as a pod in this late season? Now he seems to be playing fullback.
Yeah, I mean, he's had good runs when he's played fullback, but he's crazy as and you know, it'd be hard to kind of spend one of your very, very last trades. But at the same time, he's coming off a decent score with 65. He's only 502k, but against the Storm in Amy Park, being one of the four games left in the season, I just can't see it being worthwhile.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe not this week, but I guess if you, you know, let's say head-to-head finals, you're into the next round, Bulldogs waiting at GIO Stadium. So might not be a bad idea to sneak him into the team next week if he's still at fullback, obviously.
Yeah, not a bad call there. Speaking of the Bulldogs, they're up against the Knights at McDonald's Jones Stadium. Final game of the week. Tuala's in the centres for Bradman Best, and Luke Thompson makes his long-awaited debut for the year. Just an absolute injury plagued year, not just for Thompson, the whole bloody club. So yeah, it's a bit of a write-off year for the Bulldogs, but I mean, load up on your Knights, because I just don't think the Bulldogs have it in them to keep the Knights from scoring 40 this week.
Well, we're gonna have to go back to round 18, right?
Yes, we do.
What was the score? 66-0, was it?
It wasn't great,
and Kalyn Ponga scored 180. So painful watching as a non-owner. Obviously, if you took the punt on him, well done, because that was, like, he'd had a couple of good games, right, before then. You know, 90s against the Broncos, the Roosters, 77 against the Seagulls. In hindsight, you look at the 47 against the Panthers, you go, oh, you know, 47's not great. And then bang, 180, yeah. 137, and just hasn't looked back since then.
Okay, so question for you. If your VC scores 146, are you looping this week?
Oh dear, I don't think so.
I'm not looping. So. I say that as a Bulldogs fan. But yeah, as much as you can see that they're putting in the effort, they're too young and the talent's too thin. Ponga could genuinely go anything this week. So yep, he's locked and bolted in as captain.
Yeah. I think the only thing that's going to stop him is his body or an opposition defender hitting him in the head.
Yep. And Jack Hetherington is not at the Bulldogs anymore. So the chances of that, a little bit less. But that's the teams for the week, mate. Let's get into the group comp.
Quick update. Thanks to our friends at Tyler Made, who stand for excellence in wall and floor tiles. We still have Edwin, coach of Lux for Losers, sitting in 12th overall. So just outside tracksuit territory. So keep pushing, Edwin. Hopefully you get there. We've got a new second place. That's Frank, coach of Frank's Tanks, who's sitting in 22nd overall. Frank's been there before, so hopefully Frank can hang around there. If you guys stick around at the pointy end, so $500 cash overall for the highest rank in our group competition come end of season. So second to fourth, you get a platinum subscription to Rugby League Fantasy Pro that gives you access to all four of their fantasy apps, not just Supercoach Pro. You also got Fantasy Pro, Draft Stars Pro, and Punter Pro. It's valued at $90 in total. If you come fifth to tenth in our group competition, you'll get a $30 voucher to use in 2024. Which covers the cost of Supercoach Pro or can be applied to any of the other subscription packages. Jump over to rugbyleaguefantasypro.com for more info about what's offered. Honestly, especially for head-to-head right now, it's an absolute cheat code, so you should get it. It's not a huge amount of cash for the value you get and how useful that tool is. So thanks again to Adrian and the team at Rugby League Fantasy Pro for their generosity. All right, four rounds to go. And do you think your team, like, I'm projected to hit 1,400 again. It feels like this week could genuinely be like a 1,800 round because of the matchups we've got on offer.
Yeah, if you get it right, that's absolutely the case. I've got three trades left. I'm tossing up, burning two of them to try and go one up, one down, get enough in and try and chase just one more kind of premium player, particularly someone from Newcastle, like a Gakai or a Dom Young or someone like that's got a real ceiling, maybe even Latrell, to kind of make a bit of a push. But, we know what the restings in round 27 are like, right? So being at the end of a long year, there's every chance you could end up with kind of 14 or 15 players in that final week. So, that's what my dilemma is kind of burning the trades and just crossing my fingers for the final week that there aren't those kind of mass restings and just going from there.
I do think, though, and this is, again, why I kind of thought it was good to spend some time talking about the teams in contention for the top eight, because the teams fighting for a spot, they're going to be fighting right to round 27, so they don't have the luxury to rest. So yeah. You talked about bringing in maybe a Knights or a Rabbitohs player. Like, they're going to be playing round 27 for sure, because they lose potentially that round. They're gone for the top eight, so... Yeah, I can't see that being a bad idea if you were going to burn two trades. I'm still hanging on to my one solitary trade, though.
I mean, well, you were in trouble when you were out of boost after 8 weeks, mate. So, yeah, it's been a fighting rear guard action for you for a while.
But to be fair, again, my bench.
In your defense.
my bench, it was elite last week, right? I had 100 from Joey Manu. No, I had a 97 for Joey Manu. I had 100 from Billy Smith, the better center, apparently.
Yeah, apparently 124 from Izako. I think your lowest bench player scored 77. It was ridiculous.
Nah, that was Blake Braley, my AE in the end. So, yeah, Pete Kurov is to 77, although now he's back on the bench. He might not deliver too many points there. So that could be a drama for me. But I'm going to hang on to that trade for the time being. And maybe once Pete Kurov has peaked, he might be the one that has to go for a late season, second row smoky. Who knows?
Yeah, it's a shame he's been named on the bench, because with minus 23 break even, he would have been a perfect kind of, final trade out at over 500K for next week. But maybe he's a sacrificial lamb for me this week to try and bring in that gun. But, mate, so many different options. Again, bit of a sad day for the Supercoach community with SC Talk kind of, making the announcement that they're changing up what they're doing again. It's been around for well over a decade and so formative in the Supercoach careers of so many people. I mean, I can't even think of how many former champs were regulars. It just seemed every year they were, the winner was a Supercoach Talk regular for many years there.
Yeah, again, they were not the only show in town, but they were clearly the best show for quite a while, which is why, I think that's exactly why there were so many former champs who were in and around that Supercoach website, myself included. So, yeah, sad day, as you say, but a day to also celebrate what they've brought to the community. And, long may the memory remain.
For sure. All right, thanks, guys. Have a great week, and we'll catch you soon.